PETA says the term bullpen is speciesist and recommends baseball replace the term with arm barn because it would be less offensive to cattle. We're working on not offending cattle now?
That's bull.
Hello, this is Karen.
And this is Kevin.
And this is Right From Us. Okay, that was pretty good impromptu response there. We didn't practice that. That's awesome. No kidding. But can you believe that? We're now worried about offending cattle. Cattle.
You know,
cattle,
don't you think offended? Most people are not offended by bullpen and what PETA says.
I think the majority of people could care less what PETA says.
Yeah.
Who cares? That's crazy. But anyway, hi, we're back.
Hello.
We were out last week. I was under the weather. But I'm back on top, and here we go. So it's good to be back, guys. I hope you had a good week. Can you believe it's the end of October? It's going to be Christmas before you know it. But you know what? You better get your Christmas trees now, because there's going to potentially be a shortage.
Christmas tree shortage. You know, I've been hearing all these stories about the supply chain and how there's shortages of everything, but I'm not really seeing it. There's no shortages. I mean, it doesn't seem like there's any bare shelves at any of the places we've been lately.
But I have a problem with people that say that, like, oh, well, I don't see it firsthand, so it must not be happening. I don't know. I don't buy that. I think that there are definitely shortages. How can there not be, first of all? Because there are some empty shelves. We did see, like, there were no turkeys to be seen, by the way.
For sure. Turkeys. There was no turkeys.
But there's all these cargo ships off in the in the ocean. I mean, that's got to have some repercussions somewhere, don't you think?
You know, I don't know. How many cargo ships are there normally out there?
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. True.
And, you know, one way to get rid of all the shortages of cargo ships is just buy things from the United States, you know, stop buying so much stuff from China.
Well, the problem with that is there's nothing made in the United States anymore.
Well, start making
which I
stuff.
Think there was an article I read someplace that they're trying to pass some kind of law or whatever so that they can make it more conducive to, you know, not promote, but entice companies to build in the U.S. so they can make U.S. products. But the problem with that is then you get the unions involved and the unions are asking for too much money, and then they can't, companies can't even start a company because of all the red tape they have to go through.
And companies have been tricked before on that, you know, so they'll be skeptical, you know. I mean, companies are leaving California because of all the red tape out there.
Yeah, Elon Musk is now in Texas. And by the way, he was thinking of starting a new institution called Technology Institution something something, but the acronym is TITS, T-I-T-S.
what is it?
I don't know if that's true or not, but anyway. But apparently he is in Texas now, much to the shock of the people in California. I don't think that they actually thought he would do it, but he did. He's in Texas now, so.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Hope they don't bring all their left-wing politics into Texas.
I know, I would be nervous if I lived in Texas right now. With all the lefties moving in.
And speaking of Elon Musk, have you seen this thing about where you can buy plots of land on Mars? I came across this last night.
It's
called something like Mars Genesis or something like that. You can actually buy plots of land on Mars.
How could that possibly be a good thing?
I have no idea. I don't know.
How can you possibly get any money on your investment?
I don't know.
You can't visit it.
It's based on the same technology that Bitcoin is using.
What do you think about Bitcoin, by the way? I was talking to a nurse at work, and apparently her husband is really getting into it, and he's making a lot of money. But I told her, I said, you know, you got to be careful, because, I mean, is it really money? I mean, it's not tangible, right? It's all online.
It's just an electronic currency.
I don't know. Do you do anything with Bitcoin?
No, not yet.
What?
not yet. But
not yet.
The thing about it is, here's the problem I have with Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies is they fluctuate in price too much. And for example, Tesla, speaking of Elon Musk, Tesla was accepting Bitcoin for a while to buy a Tesla, but then the price was fluctuating so much that they discontinued that. So like, for example, you buy, I think one Bitcoin now is like 65,000 or something like that. And then the next week it might be 50,000. So that's not really a very reliable currency if it can fluctuate in price that much. You know, there's only a limited number of Bitcoins. So more than likely over time, it's going to go up in price, but
I just
the fact that it fluctuates so much, to me, it's not really a reliable store of value, which is what a currency would be typically.
But I mean, I guess the bigger picture is, do you think it's a good idea to have an alternative payment source? Uh-uh. Like, because I mean, the dollar, the American dollar, I mean, with inflation going up, the value of the dollar is going to go down. It's going to take more money to buy something. I mean, in some ways, would it be more healthy for the American dollar to have competition? Or would it not?
Well, it'd be smart for just to be diversified, you know, just have a lot of different things, like, you know, have some gold, have some silver, have a Bitcoin, possibly, maybe, you know, just have some things that are valuable that in case the dollar does crash.
Yeah, I don't know. Bitcoin just makes me nervous because it's just not, it's all online. I mean, what if the internet goes down? Does your money just
well,
what happens to Bitcoin?
It's blockchain. Blockchain.
I have no idea what that means.
Technology, which basically blockchain is, there's like millions of computers that have all the same data on them. So
what could possibly go wrong with that?
Well, everybody knows what everybody else has, basically. Or everybody knows what each block is worth, or something like that.
I don't know. I'm skeptical, because I don't know that.
I am skeptical of using that as a currency. Also, like gold and silver, it's like it just you know, you can't really take a gold coin down to the store and get something. Maybe at some point, if everything crashes and came crashing down, you might be able to. But at this point, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I mean, isn't currency basically something that we've all agreed upon that has value?
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, I guess you can make anything currency if, as long as everybody is in agreement that it holds some kind of value, some kind of trading value. I don't know. I don't know enough about Bitcoin and this whole cryptocurrency stuff to really have an opinion, but it just makes me really nervous.
I don't know that much about it either. just the fact that it's been going up. I mean, if you had one Bitcoin now, you'd be like, if you had like $1,000 of the Bitcoin or $100 of the Bitcoin, you'd be a millionaire many times over.
I don't know.
The thing about it is there's so many competing things out there that I don't think that, I just don't think that relying on one thing is a good idea.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know.
And speaking of becoming a millionaire.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Good transition, by the way.
I got this great idea.
He's on fire today.
I've got this great idea on how we can become millionaires, Karen.
Well, share your idea, Kev.
Well, the Biden administration this week announced that illegal aliens that were separated under President Trump, you know, illegally crossing the border, are going to get, they're proposed to get $450,000 each. So a couple, in other words, will get $900,000. So what we can do is head down to the south border and then come back in.
Get separated,
and then we'll become millionaires.
We're on a great plan. Let's get on that. But I mean, why? What in the heck is wrong with this man? Seriously, that he thinks this is going to be okay. You know, people can't afford to buy gas and groceries.
Yeah.
Americans can't, but he's going to go and give illegal aliens $500,000. Where is this coming from? It's like, I guess they think that money to Democrats,
it's monopoly money.
It's monopoly money. It's not real to them, is it?
No, in fact, one of the Democrats just said a few months ago, we talked about it, it's just like monopoly money to them. They're the bank, they can print as much as they want, you know, but, you know, it's going to cause inflation if you do that.
And I'd like to know, speaking of illegal aliens or immigrants, where are all these people going?
Where are they going?
All of these people that are crossing the border, they just disappear.
Well, they're getting shipped all over the country.
Biden secretly flies thousands of illegal migrants deep into U.S. overnight. While Americans sleep, the fly-by-night tactics of the Biden administration are delivering illegal immigrants to communities across the country, according to a new report. Ever since President Joe Biden took office, the southern border has been flooded with illegal immigrants, which the Biden administration allows to remain in the U.S. As the influx of migrants continues to grow and the border crisis worsens, more and more of the Biden administration's policy has been revealed.
Little Red Lying Hood, Jen Psaki, was asked about that. Why are they doing these, you know, middle of the night flights all over the country?
What did she say?
They're not middle of the night. I dispute that. It's like, yeah, they're like at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's like the middle of the night. Well, see, very early in the morning.
That's how they get past all of these tough issues, though. They skirt the actual question and zero in on inconsequential facts, like it actually wasn't the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't
4 o'clock in the morning. It's
how
not
about
the
addressing
the
actual question instead of a portion of that question? That's how they always get, and then everybody lets them get away with it.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want them to say, okay, great. Now back to the question. You know what I mean? Like, call them out on this. Well, let us allow them to just skirt the issue and never answer any questions. And it's so maddening.
Yeah, that one NBC reporter said that Jen Psaki's the best press secretary.
I know. Whatever.
What was that guy's name? It's not Chris Matthews.
I don't remember.
The other guy.
I don't know. I don't remember. But speaking of Biden and his stellar administration policies and decisions, did you hear that the Let's Go Brandon song is like number one on the charts?
Yeah, actually, it's
and
got
then,
the...
Well, there's variations of that
top,
song,
the
too.
The top five songs on iTunes are Let's Go Brandon.
Yeah, that tells you something. That says that the most of the country despise Biden.
Yeah, but there was a poll that was done recently, like in the last couple of days, asking people if they even knew what Let's Go Brandon meant. And 38% of Democrats had never even heard of it.
I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
You don't think so?
Nope, I do not. You cannot get to the top of the Billboard charts with something like that without people knowing about it. I don't buy it. I think the polls are always off. I think they're very misleading on purpose because they want to discourage people from either voting or, you know, not to, to squash any hopes that people have. I think the polls are highly subjective.
Who are they polling? I mean,
exactly.
Who are they polling?
That's exactly my point.
Who are they polling?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Have you ever
been
polled?
Nope.
Actually, I get calls every once in a while to be.
Do you really?
Yeah. I don't answer my phone, but. But that's what they are. So, I don't know.
Let's see. What else? We have quite a few things on here because we have like 2 weeks worth of stuff. I don't even know where to start. There's so much to look at.
Back to Tesla's. Did you hear they had a climate conference over in Europe? And actually, I think it's going on right now. But anyway, they have Teslas that they're ferrying the participants in the conference back and forth from their hotel to the conference. And guess what they're using to charge the Teslas with?
Oh, electricity? Coal?
No, yeah, diesel generators.
Oh,
yeah. They have to have diesel generators.
Yeah, I know. But, they don't address these issues. They like to pretend that stuff doesn't exist and just, you know, shove it under the rug. But what's maddening to me is not that the fact that they do that, it's not that they're allowed to do that, as opposed to just being called out on these people like the science. Well, show me the science. What science are you quoting? Stop regurgitating talking points and start putting your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, I mean, it's the scientific evidence shows that these electric cars really aren't that green because they're really charged by coal. And also the mining process of the lithium for the batteries is just like really environmentally bad.
Well, and speaking of cars, what did Biden say about cars?
He had a comment, a kind of an offhand comment, about getting a million cars off the road. he's planning on getting a million cars off the road.
By that kind like, of, whatever
that reminds
year.
Me of, remember that under Obama, they had the cash for clunkers?
Yes. Oh my goodness.
Which turned
yes.
out to be terrible, a terrible thing because people that, the people that would want to buy those cars for, as used cars, you know, because they needed a car to get back and forth to work, couldn't get cars because all the clunkers were getting, you know, dismantled and destroyed, thrown away.
Well, and now we have a similar issue with that there's no end in sight for chip shortage as supply chain problems pile up. But I think that's on purpose. You know, I've been watching this podcast of two young people, Elijah Schaefer and Sydney Watson, two really fun people to watch. The name of their podcast is called You Are Here, and I watch it every night. It is so interesting. But Elijah brought up a really interesting theory about why there's a supply chain shortage, why there's a chip shortage. It's like the Democrats want to take everything that makes you independent away from you so that you're forced to be dependent on the government. For instance, this whole getting rid of the cars by whatever year, because then you have no choice but to rely on public transit. Making meat just outrageously expensive so you can't eat it. But you know what? You can eat a bunch of soy stuff for super dirt cheap. Just manipulating the system to the point where you are no longer an independent individual, but you're part of the collective. And of course, they want that so they can control you because, you know, if you're not a good citizen, we're gonna make sure the trains don't run. And guess what? You have no transportation. You can't get to work.
Yeah, your access pass to the train or bus won't work because you didn't get the vaccine or whatever.
Right, right. You know? Or you didn't do whatever.
Yeah, that's.
I just thought that was a really interesting perspective, and I hadn't thought about that before. And I was like, wow.
I mean, it kind of
makes sense.
This thing with the chip shortage is really. I mean, have you driven by a new car lot lately? I mean,
yeah,
that one up there
on
Independence. I don't think there are hardly. There might be, maybe 25 new cars on that lot, and there's usually hundreds.
Well,
did you have a story about that?
Yeah, an auto dealer had 1,000 cars on his lot under Trump. Now he has just 81 under Biden. And that's just cars. I don't even know what that means, like new or used cars. Let me look up the article and see for sure. As the supply chain crisis continues in the United States, one Republican congressman's car dealership is serving as an important anecdotal example of just how bad things are. The Committee to Unleash Prosperity, a conservative economic group, revealed photos of Texas Republican Representative Roger Williams' auto dealership in Weatherford, Texas, before and after the current crisis. In the first photo from July 2019 under the Trump administration, the Williams Chrysler Dodge Jeep dealership could be seen full of automobiles ready for sale. The report from the committee then contrasts the image with one from recent days, which shows a seemingly empty lot. Williams told the group that he normally has 500 to 1,000 cars and trucks on its lots, but said they now have only 14 for sale. He also suggested that because of the supply chain woes, along with the computer chip shortage, people are not able to get good deals on automobiles. He says, "We don't sell anything below sticker price today," he told the committee, because, I mean, why would they? Because the demand's there. So they might as well get as much money as they can. So that means that the cars that are available are now more expensive. So the bottom line is you better take care of the cars you have because you could be stuck with it for a while because there won't be any alternative.
Yeah, being an auto mechanic might be a good
thing yeah, to get into for right sure.
Now. If
for
you need
sure.
to get the parts, though, can you get the parts?
But back on this independent, dependent thing, too, I mean, also housing. You know, Biden's coming out saying that there's some kind of thing. I meant to try to find an article on that, but I couldn't. But this podcast that I listened to, they also said that there's some kind of Biden story about where he's trying to get rid of like individual houses and have like building more complexes where people have to rent and take away ownership, property rights, not property rights, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
just you won't own your property.
Right.
You just rent.
Because once again, then you have to rely on the government for housing.
Yeah.
You don't have anything of your own to call your own.
I think
that's
a certain
scary.
Number of people will go for that, for sure. You know, just the simplicity
of
it all.
But I think the majority of people won't.
But a lot of people are not going to want to go
for that.
Because
that's one reason why Americans are so prosperous is because of land
and
your being
property,
able to pay off your mortgage.
You build your equity
over
a period of years. Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. It's an interesting perspective, and it kind of makes sense to me when you think about all of the agendas they're trying so hard to push on us. That, you know, you have to know that Democrats, there's always an ulterior motive behind what a Democrat does. You know, they never let a good crisis go to waste. So, I mean, it's just something to think about and, you know, to keep an eye on because they're sneaky. But anyway, it was an interesting perspective.
So anyway, we had the this week we had the FDA panel member that said we'll never know how safe the vaccine is for kids until we start injecting them.
My mouth dropped when I heard that, because what does that sound like, Kevin? I think we've heard that before.
That sounds like Obamacare.
No, it sounds like Pelosi. Well, we have to pass the bill before we know.
And
what's
she was talking
in it.
About Obamacare.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. Because it was such. It's like.
Yeah, we have to pass the bill. We have to inject the kids to know to find out how safe it is. Why don't you turn that around and say we have to inject the kids to find out how bad it is for the kids?
Well, here, let's go a step further. How about we stop injecting people with a substance that we don't know a whole lot about at this point in time? Especially if you're, I mean, they're blatantly coming out. They're not even trying to hide it anymore about how they're blatantly experimenting on humans.
These are
kids. I don't understand how people can go along with that or why they went along with that. That's so scary to me.
And these are kids.
They're kids. They're children.
Five-year-old children.
Children.
They have basically no, they're not really at risk for the virus in the first place.
No.
And you're injecting something.
Yes. You know, that you don't even know a whole lot about.
Yeah. Speaking of that, have you seen the thing about that there's a doctor that got a vial of the injection stuff?
Yeah, you were telling me about that.
And, you know, was looking at it under a microscope and just commenting about all the stuff that was in there. That she's like, what is that? You know?
Yeah. Do we have that link? You might want to put that link in the show notes.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I have that on here.
Because isn't that with the American Frontline Doctors?
I don't think she is. It's Carrie Medej.
I'm going to put that on here to remind you.
But she is a doctor, and she got a vial of the stuff and was looking at it under a microscope, and she has a video out there, you know, talking about what is this? I mean, look at that. And then apparently there's some things in there that look, they're like spindly looking things that look like hydras. And apparently a hydra, and I'm just learning about this, but a hydra is like some kind of a microscopic water. It's like a single-celled organism that basically, if you chop it in half, it just regenerates and makes two hydras. And if you chop it in a bunch of pieces, it just regenerates and makes a whole bunch of new hydras. And apparently, they live forever. They never die. Wow. So, and she was saying, "Well, this thing in this vaccine serum looks like a hydra." So anyway, and you know, I don't know that much about her. I have seen a couple of her videos over the last couple of years. And
Well, it says an internist who looked at several COVID jabs under a microscope is sounding the alarm after her discovery of strange unidentified objects in the shots, including metallic fragments, graphene-like structures in each jab, and a tentacled moving organism-like creature in the Moderna jab. Dr. Carrie Medej, I think that's how you say her name, who said she has examined the magnified contents of the Moderna, Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson shots, found it very upsetting to see things in each jab that the manufacturers have not been forthright about. Shocker. So upsetting that she said she cried after she verified with a second batch of shots what she had seen in the first. She explained on the Steve Peters show that she was first asked by a local Georgia lab to examine under a microscope the contents of a fresh Moderna vial, which she verified was unaltered before being placed onto a glass slide under a compound microscope. Nothing was added to the solution. Nothing was diluted, she said. First, it looked just translucent. And then as time went on, over 2 hours, colors appeared. I have never seen anything like this.
Colors appeared?
That's what she said. There wasn't a chemical reaction happening. It was a brilliant blue and royal purple, yellow, and sometimes green, she said.
That reminds me of that one whistleblower that said that the serum glows in the dark.
That's frightening, people.
Under certain light or something like that.
She later shared that when she asked nanotech engineers what the emerging brilliant colors might come from, the engineer said the only thing they knew that could do that was a white light over time causing a reaction on a superconducting material. In this case, Madurej noted white light came from the microscope itself. She pointed out that an example of a superconducting substance would be an injectable computing system. These fibers were appearing more and more. Some of the fibers had a little cube structure on them. I'm not sure what that was. And also metallic fragments were in there. They were not metallic fragments I'm used to seeing. They were exotic. They were very opaque. So, and then she's got a picture of this thing in here. It looks like a little bit of like a little alien
that's
organism.
Looks kind of like a hydra, which is like a little tree-looking thing.
She says she noticed something else quite strange. She says there was one particular object or organism, I'm not sure what to call it, that had tentacles coming from it. It was able to lift itself up off the glass slide. It appeared to be self-aware or to be able to grow or move in space. She found it disturbing, but says she thought maybe that was a fluke in a way. Maybe that was just that one vial. Sometime later, the same lab obtained more vials from a different batch of Moderna shots, as well as J&J vial. Madurej was concerned to see the same thing she had observed in the first vial. Another one of those tentacle-like structures appeared, she said. This was now completely under the cover slip, so there was no movement because it wasn't on the edge, but I just couldn't believe I saw another one. Same thing, same colors appear over time, as well as the fibers. That is scary.
But that's perfectly fine to inject in your five-year-old, apparently.
I am flabbergasted. That is beyond disturbing. Okay, I'm going to put this on our show notes.
That's crazy.
That is beyond disturbing, guys. That's beyond disturbing. There's some kind of living organism in there that apparently doesn't die. So there is no telling what that is doing to your body chemistry and your cells and... But that's disturbing.
I can't figure out why there are so many hesitant people. I mean, why would
yeah, I don't know.
Why would you just get that? I mean, yeah.
They're clearly stupid, yeah. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, that's.
And speaking of hesitant people, this is the New York is kind of coming down to the deadline on where they're forcing the city workers to get the injection. And apparently there's 30% of the firefighters and 25% of the New York police officers that haven't received the injection. So they're not, I think they've been instructed to show up for work and let the city send them home, is what their union has told them to do. So
speaking of unions, did you hear what they did to Lori Lightfoot in Chicago? They booed her off the stage.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because she had the audacity to stand up there, and she was speaking, I think, on some kind of fundraiser thing.
Yeah.
About trying to get the unions involved in some kind of fundraiser that she wanted to do. And it's like, they booed her off the stage. I mean, duh. I mean, I can't even believe that they would be surprised by that. She is an evil woman. And I feel sorry for these big cities. I really do, because... If, you know, a third of your firefighters walk off the job and, you know, you're already down low numbers of police officers,
another part of their evil plan.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Because, you know, they hate police officers. It's like, did you see some speech Biden was giving the other day when he talked about, actually, I think it was Anderson Cooper asked him if he was okay with... getting rid of police officers and firefighters that haven't had the injection. He said, "Oh yeah, I'm okay with that." And the crowd just erupted in applause, wild applause over that.
I don't understand how can you spin that and make that a positive? Really? I mean, to me, people that are for that are absolutely, they have their heads in the sand.
But do you think that this is part of making the cities and just
more
chaos?
Yes, of course.
More chaotic.
So the government can swoop in and save the day.
Well, I also heard something yesterday about how the government is wanting to take over police forces anyway. They want to nationalize police forces anyway. So this is their chance right now to say, well, you guys can't handle it yourself, obviously. So we're going to swoop in with whatever our national police force and take it over for you.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. Like I said, that it's an agenda with the left. It's always about the bigger picture. However they can get there, they're going to get there.
Well, that sort of ties in also with the Capitol Police. The Capitol Police has set up, apparently, offices all over the country. You know, the Capitol, the United States, Washington, D.C., Capitol Police, they're setting up offices all over the country.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Why?
Well, I don't know. Maybe this is why.
And speaking of Chicago, officials urge small town cops to bail out Chicago as vaccine mandate creates police shortage. 3 days past the deadline for Chicago police officers to report their COVID-19 vaccinations, Illinois officials are dreading more problems in the future. Duh. That's the message from the land of Lincoln after a Chicago news outlet reported that state emergency management officials are looking to small towns and surrounding areas to come to the city's rescue, as more than a third of Chicago police officers have failed to comply with the mandate to get fully vaccinated or report their vaccination status by October 15th. Why? Why would they do that? Why would small town cops want to go and bail out Chicago?
Well, I mean, aren't the small towns going to be shorthanded as well?
Well, I mean, you have made your bed, now lie in it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that sounds mean, but there it is. That's the only way things are going to change is if the bad actually affects people. When the bad actually affects people, I think you're going to start seeing some changes because people will start getting involved. Right now, everybody's choosing to kind of turn the other cheek, not pay attention. You know, oh, it doesn't affect me, so I'm not really, you know, I don't really care. I guarantee you this is going to start affecting every single one of us pretty soon. And when it does, I think there will be some changes.
Yeah, when gas prices start going up and like your heating bills.
It's a shame that it's got to get to that point, but I think that's the only way it's going
to
take.
That might be what it takes to wake people up.
I think that's what's going to be. And then did you hear that Fauci warns unvaccinated might bring a fifth COVID wave?
Oh, the unvaccinated.
Yeah, because, you know, it's all about the vaccinated, unvaccinated. The man that oversees the deadliest pandemic in our lifetimes, who happens to be the highest paid official in the U.S. government, even over the president of the United States, I might add, is sounding a continued warning about the unvaccinated causing a fifth wave of COVID-19 in the U.S. The problem is, as we all know, we still have approximately 66 million people who are eligible to be vaccinated who are not vaccinated, National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease Director Anthony Fauci told Fox News Sunday. The degree to which we continue to come down in that slope will depend on how well we do about getting more people vaccinated. Dr. Fauci did not discuss the settled science. The settled science, that's an oxymoron, that has revealed even vaccinated Americans can contract and spread COVID-19, particularly if they have minimal symptoms and unwittingly interact closely with others without using mitigation protocols like social distancing or masking. Speaking of Fauci, majority of people now want Fauci out, according to a poll of people that we don't know who they poll.
Yeah, who knows?
That's probably not going to happen.
Who knows about that?
But a fifth wave.
Yeah.
I mean, are you shocked?
Yeah.
It's never going to end, people.
Yeah.
And, sorry to interrupt. The CDC is now getting ready to change the definition of fully vaccinated. You're not fully vaccinated until you've had the booster. That's coming. Coming down the pike.
Yeah. As I've been saying, it's going to be interesting to see what people do whenever they... You know, they've gotten all the vaccinations and then all of a sudden they have to have a booster to, you know, have a vaccine passport that's valid, you know, and then what are they going to do when they have to have two boosters?
Again,
and what are they going to have to do? What are they going to do when they have to have three booster shots to have a valid vaccine passport?
I mean, don't you guys get it? It's never going to end because we're allowing this to happen.
Yeah.
But I'm really hoping that people will start waking up. All these people that have gotten vaccinated, fully vaccinated, and they proudly carry their vaccinated card or passport. I mean, that's going to be null and void if the definition changes and you're now no longer fully vaccinated. You have to get the booster shot. Now it's going to personally affect you. Are people going to say something? Or are they just going to just zombie-like stand in line with their arm out and just get booster after booster after booster of God knows what is being injected?
I think that people are going to be skeptical.
I hope so.
I think more and more people are getting skeptical.
I'm severely disappointed in the human race right now, though. I can't believe we're even at this stage. I cannot believe we are here.
It really is unbelievable.
I really didn't think this time last year we would be where we are now. I really thought people, more people at least, the majority of people at least, would stand up and say, no, we're not doing this.
Yeah, no, 2 weeks. Oh, it's going to be 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And then now two years later where, you know, you have to have a paper to get into a restaurant.
Yes, in some places. It's absolutely scary and disturbing and gross. And it's awful.
And a lot of people are just going right along with it. We are getting way up there on time.
We're not. We're in good shape. You know, we say that every time. We need like a little thing to,
a little clock.
Something to let me know. Because you exaggerate. So I'm very skeptical. There is a new infectious strain of Delta variant detected in the U.S., according to the CDC.
The Grinch variant is right on schedule.
Yep. Exactly.
Let's cancel Thanksgiving and Christmas.
We can't let people enjoy the holidays.
Yeah. Halloween's fine, though.
Yeah, you know, Halloween's fine.
Christmas and Thanksgiving, you can't have that.
A new sublineage of the highly contagious Delta variant that is spreading throughout the UK has been detected in the United States, health officials said Wednesday. AY4.2 is being closely monitored in the UK after British health officials revealed that the new variant, reported to be 10 to 15% more transmissible than Delta, had been linked to a growing number of COVID-19 infections there. Dr. Rochelle Walensky, director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, confirmed during a COVID-19 briefing Wednesday that AY4.2 has been found in the U.S. Walensky said the new variant, which she acknowledged has been drawn some attention in recent days, has not been linked to any clusters within the country. But like you said, for now, they're just setting the stage, you see, because the holidays are coming up and they're setting the stage for this new, this more contagious, less deadly, but more contagious virus is coming because we cannot allow you to enjoy the holidays. We enjoy people to be down and depressed and all that good stuff. So, and then I guarantee you, mark my words, mark this down your calendar. There's going to be another variant this time next year, right before the midterms.
Well, yeah, that's for sure.
When is it going to stop?
Yeah.
When are people going to finally just say, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm living my life.
Yeah.
Not doing this anymore.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. There are a lot of people that are just carrying on with life. I mean, you look at the crowded football stadiums and things with, you know, nobody with a
mask. That's true. That is very encouraging.
All chanting, "Let's go, Brandon," by the way. And the other thing, the original.
Yeah, I'm just going to call it FJB.
Yeah. Yeah, I did hear the new the LGBTQ, what the definition of that is now.
No, I haven't. What's that?
You haven't heard that? Let's get Biden to quit.
That's pretty good.
They have some t-shirts with that on there.
Let's get
Biden to quit.
I love it. And people are rebelling. I mean, there are, you know, a lot of healthcare workers and stuff. They're rebelling as well. The Great American Rebellion on WND.com. Throughout 2020, Americans, doctors, nurses, paramedics, and other medical professionals were celebrated as heroes, courageous frontline soldier healers, selflessly battling a fearsome new pandemic called COVID-19. Just 1 year later, in 2021, tens of thousands of those same frontline heroes are now branded as rebels, conspiracy theorists, extremists, and yes, potential terrorists, at least according to the Department of Homeland Security, considered so dangerous as to merit termination, their professional and personal lives turned upside down due to their decision not to be injected with the experimental COVID vaccines. They are forbidden from working in their field of hard-won expertise and forced to take any job they can get or go on unemployment, which can they collect unemployment? See, I bet they can't.
That's being debated. It's being debated right now.
Well, but from hero to untouchable, what a difference a year makes. A year in which America has been ruled by a corrupt, dishonest, and cognitively disintegrating puppet of a president, totally subservient to secret handlers and even more secret anti-American agendas. But healthcare heroes being disposed of en masse is just the beginning. So I'm encouraged to see some of this rebellion. You know what I mean? I don't know if it's too little too late. And I remind you that the mandate is not a law.
Yeah.
OSHA has not written any policy.
A lot of employers are going along with it as if it is a law and, you know, putting in mandates and termination.
And why do you think that is?
Terminating employees.
Do they not know it's not a law, or are they just preparing for a potential law down the line so they don't get sued and get fined?
Yeah. And, you know, they're getting some bad legal advice from their HR attorneys and things, you know, just saying, go ahead and implement the policy.
And it just irritates the ever-loving crap out of me when I see these companies, you know, brag about how they are now 97% vaccinated. Yeah. Well, of course you are, because you got rid of all the rest of the people.
Yeah, you fire everybody. And, and the ones that are there, you say you're not going to pay them anymore.
Right. It's like, of course you're going to be that. Your percentage is going to be that.
That's kind of how the math works. Yeah. But there is a lot of pushback. I mean, have you seen there's massive protests in New York of the firefighters and police officers, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know. I think that's encouraging. I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic. I don't want to get too excited.
It also tells you something if the police officers and firefighters are pushing back against it.
Well, speaking of healthcare, COVID hospitalizations spike in most vaxxed nation. The Republic of Ireland has vaccinated 91% of its population for COVID-19, the highest rate in the European Union, but the nation now has the highest number of patients hospitalized for the disease since March. Think there's a correlation there? And the cases will increase until there is a transmission blocking vaccine, because the efficacy of the current shots is waning, said Dr. Anne. Hold on, I've got pop-ups on my computer here. Dr. Anne Moore, a vaccine specialist at University College Cork, the Irish Times reported. A year-long peer-reviewed study published this week in the prestigious British science journal The Lancet found people vaccinated against COVID-19 are as likely to spread the Delta variant to contacts in their household as those who have not been vaccinated. The study, tracking more than 600 people in the UK, found immunity from full vaccination waned in as little as 3 months. Meanwhile, booster shots for older and more vulnerable people in the UK are being offered 6 months after their second shot. See, it never ends. It never goes away.
All right. We are getting way ridiculously up here on time now.
And speaking of, and I was looking at your flu vaccine or graphic too down here. I thought this was pretty interesting. Flu season cases in the USA.
Yeah. As we, you know, we've looked at the graph of the flu over the last year and a half. And basically the flu for the 2020 season was essentially non-existent. I'll put that.
Yeah.
Graph up
just
there again.
A couple examples. In the year of 2017 and 2018, there were 45 million cases of flu. 2018 and 2019, there was 36 million cases. 2019 to 2020, there was 38 million cases. In 2021, there was 1,822 cases reported of the flu.
That is just unbelievable.
Wow.
So
impressive.
The PCR test basically couldn't tell the difference between the COVID and the flu, so everything was getting counted as COVID.
That's
just
math.
It's unbelievable.
The numbers don't lie. Yeah. It's right there.
Yeah.
Why are we not talking about this? It drives me crazy. It
doesn't go along with the narrative.
Let's see. Oh, and then something else. One more thing I wanted to say about the vaccine. Biden's next tactic for forcing vaccine is counseling. Have you heard about this? Joe Biden promised to be the unity president, and his administration reminded us again on Wednesday exactly what they think that word means. During a midweek press briefing, a reporter laid out a scenario from the trucking industry that also applies to many other sectors of the workforce. That is, the American Trucking Association wants the Biden White House to delay the requirement it's pushing among private companies that workers get the COVID-19 shot to remain employed, because the association warns that some drivers would quit before they'd get the vaccine. Given the supply chain concerns, is this something the administration might consider? The reporter wanted to know. Well, I think it's important for people to understand that the first step here is not firing or quitting, Psaki replied. The first step is counseling, and sometimes there are alternative options as well. So if they can't bribe you, if they can't threaten you, if they can't coerce you into doing the vaccine. Now we're going to put you into counseling and we're going to brainwash you.
Well, in other words, you're too stupid to understand. That's why you need counseling, so you can be taught.
Oh, but let's not forget the last part of that statement. And sometimes there are alternative options as well. What does that mean? What are alternative options to counseling? Strap you down to a table and force you to get it? That's what they did in the smallpox era. I don't know. Scary stuff. I'm just saying. It's just, you can't trust these people, man. You give them an inch, they're going to take a mile, and we just keep allowing them to take inch by inch. And every time you wake up, something's been taken away from us. And once it's taken away, you're not getting it back, people. Just like how they keep, you know, the government keeps saying, you know, let's just, you know, we need you to pay these taxes. Just, it's a temporary tax. You know, it's, what's it, what do they call it? Sunlight, moonlight tax. What do they call it?
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
You know, the taxes that expire after a certain time period.
Sunset
taxes. Yeah. You know, and then that time
they
period expires and it never sunsets.
They never sunset because
you never get
that
money
back,
say,
well,
ever.
You don't want your fire protection to be decreased, so you got to keep this tax.
So they keep taking stuff away from you, and you're going to wake up one day and you're going to have nothing. Nothing.
That's,
And that's the goal.
That's probably the goal.
Ugh. All right. Okay. Anyway, funny story. Did you hear about that crazy mobile home abandoned in the middle of the road here in Missouri?
I saw that. That was actually just right down the road from here.
That made national news.
Oh, did it really?
It did. It made national news. I don't know that they've ever figured out what happened. So apparently, a mobile home in the middle of a road, a mobile home, guys, was abandoned in the middle of a road.
In the middle of the day.
In the middle of the day.
It was like 2:30 in the afternoon.
This one lady said, figure out where it came from.
A lady that lived near there said she left her house at 2:15 and then she came back at 2:30. It was there. So in the afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Wow. So there is a lot of speculation on what's going on with it. I have a link to it on the thing.
They know that apparently they have a suspect. The last time,
they do.
I heard, yeah.
Well, there's some speculation. I mean, a lot of people are you know, tossing theories out. Well, you know, was it like a couple that was going down the road and they were fighting about, you know, hey, I told you we didn't need this. And they, you know, they got out and just said, fine, we'll leave it here. Or they were towing it with a vehicle that maybe couldn't handle the load. And they just left it in the middle. But it's just weird. They left it in the middle of the road. They didn't pull over. They didn't put it in a parking lot. They didn't, you know, it's just left it in the middle of the road on blocks.
I mean, it was a pretty rundown mobile home, and apparently to get rid of it, they just cut it, they chopped it up in pieces and threw it in a dumpster. It was so bad.
Oh, is that really?
Yeah.
Oh, is that the picture of it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, look how rotted.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah.
But yeah.
So bizarre, though. Like, I mean, we're a throwaway society, but that's going a little far.
Yeah, just throw your house away. Yeah. We don't need this house. Let's just get rid of it right here.
Right. Exactly.
So how was your week this
week? My week was, I felt like I was trapped in funhouse hell this week. It was awful. I went to work on Friday as usual, and we went to an outlying clinic, and the day was starting great. We were starting our clinic. We had roomed the first two patients, and then I started feeling dizzy, and I made the mistake of thinking I was getting ready to faint. So I put my head between my legs, you know, to get the blood flow. And I came back up and my world absolutely started spinning. I had this really bad case of vertigo. They took me to the ER. It was quite a thing. You had to come get me from that city. And
it's like an hour drive away here. And I got a call. I got three calls. I got a call from Karen's boss saying, Karen, it was a voicemail saying, Karen's sick and I need you to call me back. And it's like, okay. And so I was in the process of calling Karen's boss, and I got another call from Karen's nurse saying, Karen has been taken to the emergency room. You need to call over there and call Karen's cell phone number, and the physician's assistant will answer it and tell you what's going on. So I called that, and she seemed really serious, so you need to get here. So I you know, it was like an hour drive away.
They all said they could not believe how fast you got there.
It was pretty quick, yeah.
And that you were flying on the way home, too, because they actually followed us on the way back just in case he had problems and he had to pull over. They would be there to help.
Well, I was trying to drive very not swerve around very much, you know, because I didn't want you to get any more dizzy.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, he drives a stick shift. So the whole way home, I the only way I could survive was not move, and I had my eyes closed. And that was the only way that I could just survive this crazy experience. Because every time I opened my eyes or move an arm or whatever, the whole world would spin. And I would get nauseous, and I had my barf bag, and I was throwing up. TMI, I know, but that's what it was. But he was driving a stick shift, so every time he would shift gears or whatever, I would, you know, hit my head on the back of the headrest. And I was thinking, okay, good, this is good. Hopefully this will knock some sense into me. It'll make whatever's happening stop. But apparently, I've been diagnosed with benign, how do you say that? Paroxysmal? Positional vertigo. BPPV is what is the acronym for it. And apparently, unbeknownst to us, because this is new, never had this before, we never even heard of this before, you have crystals in your ears that attach to these little hairs that keep the hairs, I guess, upright.
That's how your body senses its movement. Direction.
Yeah. It's in your inner ear, and that's what keeps your balance and all that kind of stuff. Well, one of those crystals had come loose and was just kind of floating around, so that little hair in there was moving around, and it was confusing my brain. I couldn't figure out what was up, what was down, yada, yada, yada. So it was horrific. I hated it. It was awful. Wouldn't recommend. But what I compare it to is, you know, those funhouse that, you know, they had the spinning barrels as you walk into the attraction.
Yeah.
Well, it's like walking into one of those spinning barrels, but without the walkway. So that I'm like slamming into walls, and I can't walk. It's awful. Lasted for 20 hours, and I'm still not 100%, but I'm better than I was. And my eyes were twitching. You took a video of that.
Yeah, I'll try to link that video.
Oh, I don't know if I want.
You don't want?
I don't know.
Okay, well, there's a generic one I can put on.
Yeah, put a generic one on there instead of my actual.
Her eyes were like, it was like possessed. It's like going back and forth like that.
Yeah.
It was really, really, really strange.
He said that the pupils were like pinpricks, like just really small.
Like pinhole.
Pinholes, yeah. Pinholes. That's it. Yeah. But anyway,
pretty weird.
Yeah, it was really a weird experience, and it was very disorienting, and it took me quite almost a whole week to recover from.
Apparently, it's a pretty common thing with people our age.
Yeah.
It's vertigo, basically, just the short, you know, name for it is just vertigo.
Yeah, it's just really bad vertigo.
And it can be caused by a number of things. You know, the weather can cause it. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of a conspiracy theorist. Karen had the flu shot 14 days before this happened. And this is a symptom of that some people experience with the flu shot.
I don't know. All I'm saying, it's awfully coincidental that's something that I've never experienced before in my entire life happened 2 weeks after the flu vaccine. So,
and other people had the same experience. So
who knows if it's related.
I'm going with that.
But interestingly enough, there's no cure for this. You just kind of have to ride it out, because eventually what happens is that crystal, there's two things you can do. One, after a while, it just dissolves and your body reabsorbs it. And then two, there are a series of maneuvers that you can do to try to move that crystal back into place. And it's, Kevin actually watched a video on how to do it. He came over and helped me. And I think it did help, honestly, because I actually had the vertigo episode. And then 3 days later, I had a dizzy spell, which lasted almost as long. It wasn't vertigo. It wasn't as bad. It was still bad, but not as bad. But he came over and helped me. And I really think that helped with my dizziness.
There are actually quite a few videos online on how to this procedure where you basically turn your head to the right, lean back, turn your head to the left, and then sit up, and you know the positions of your head makes these crystals go back to where they belong.
It's called it's called the Epley maneuver, Epley. Yeah. If you ever want to look it up.
I had never even heard of this before.
But
it seemed to work.
Yeah, it seemed to work. You have to be really careful in what you do, because you don't want to, you know, you make it worse and inadvertently, of course. But and then also they say that you don't want to really look down a whole lot after these episodes for at least a week.
Yeah.
Which I've been very careful not to do as well.
Well, especially after this procedure, this Epley procedure, you're supposed to keep your head up, and it keeps the crystals
from like kind of going back down into the tube where it doesn't need to be going. So Anyway, so in case any of you have experienced that, maybe some of this information we're giving you, this is helpful. I will be seeing a doctor to follow up on this. I may end up having to get a referral to an ear, nose, and throat doctor. I don't know. This is all new to me. But again, it was crazy and weird. And Kevin was amazing and taking care
of
me.
You're a lot better now, at least.
Oh, my gosh. I am so much better now. But I'm still not 100%. I'm still kind of woozy. But just taking it day by day. But anyway, so that was my week. How was your week, other than taking care of me?
It was just, you know, pretty much the same old thing.
Nothing unusual happened?
Nothing really made
you smile or laugh or anything like that this
busy.
Week?
I've been pretty busy at work.
Well, you were busy with me all week, too. So yeah. I really appreciate you taking care of me. You've been pretty great. All right, let's get to a few questions.
We got time for one question.
Okay, one question. which question would you like to
just
ask?
Just surprise me. You know, this is my favorite part, so.
Well, which is more important, the respect of your children or your parents? Interesting. Which is more important, the respect of your children or your parents? If you had to choose one. Wow, I don't know.
Probably parents. I mean, it seems like your kids really never respect you. I don't know. I just think our kids sort of think I'm a little bit crazy.
Well, you are, but but we love you anyway.
Here's dad again. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I don't know that I can choose one or the other. I think it's both equally important.
Yeah, they're both. This is kind of like one of those this or that questions. It's like they're both.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you want...
I mean, I've spent a lot of... I don't know. I've always tried to make my parents proud of me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, you want to be a good enough person so that your children want to respect you as well. You want
someday,
to lead by example.
Yeah, like someday maybe they will. But I think at this point, they just think I'm kind of a
nut job. No. I think 10 years10 years ago they would have thought that because they were young and in their teenage. But now that they're both in their upper 20s, I think that's completely different. I think they look because I mean I know I mean didn't you view your parents differently when you were in your 20s? Like you get to a point where you just no longer see your parents as your parents, but people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like that's where our kids are. They see us more as people now instead of just primarily their parents.
Yeah.
Speaking of, quick side note, our oldest son is going to be 29 this year. I can't believe that. I can't believe that. That blows my mind.
It just seems like he just popped out a few years ago.
29. My gosh, he's an adult.
That's so weird.
That's so weird. Anyway, side note, I'm having trouble wrapping my brain around the fact that our oldest son is that old because I don't feel that old. But when you talk about having a nearly 30-year-old kid, it's like, dang, I'm old.
I know. It doesn't seem real.
No, it doesn't.
All right.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for sticking around. And
thanks for watching and listening.
Appreciate your time. And
click on the like button.
Yeah. Maybe, don't forget.
Subscribe.
And yeah, because we're always going to be over. You'll see the full version of this podcast on Rumble and Gab TV. A portion of it will be on YouTube only because YouTube likes to censor.
Yeah.
And we don't want any more strikes.
Pretty ridiculous.
So yeah, it's sad. It really is. It's sad. But
yeah, you can't talk about things that might be beneficial to people.
Right. But whatever. It's their platform, I guess. But so anyway, I guess we'll talk to you guys next time.
All right. Bye.
Bye.